Olivia, this was the third and last day of this conference on missing and murdered Indigenous people. It's been hosted at Salish Kootenai College on the Flathead Reservation. What have you learned about the scope of this issue?
Well, the day started off with some members of Missoula's Human Trafficking Task Force, and we heard from a police officer from the University of Montana. Her name is Shannon Parsons, and she told us some really surprising numbers, like that there were about 80,000 ads selling sex in Billings over an 18-month period, and that Missoula, then Bozeman, came next in terms of the number of ads for sex. There were about 50 people in the room, and it was just full of stories about how this had touched their community.
I understand that part of the reason for this conference is that the tribes are trying to put together an action plan to address the issue, and this action plan sprang out of a resolution that the Tribal Council passed in January. What are you hearing from people about what they hope to get out of the conference?
So the Flathead Reservation is majority white in some parts, and some of their non-Native neighbors have been showing up this week, and that includes the minister of a local Lutheran church, Melanie Martin Dent, who says she came to learn how she could help out in the community. She says she wants her church to be part of the action plan that they're brainstorming on Thursday.
I'm really excited. Today we're going to be looking at what we can do to make a difference and developing our own action plan and hearing examples of what other communities have done to kind of plant seeds of ideas that we can use.
Some of those ideas she was talking about came from Officer Parsons and the rest of the representatives from the Missoula Human Trafficking Task Force. They talked about things like their success with public awareness campaigns and how they placed a series of ads on the university bus system about human trafficking.
So some potential solutions there. What else did you hear, though, from folks just kind of about the breadth of the issue that they're trying to solve?
I heard from a lot of participants about a need for public awareness campaigns in the community. And one woman I spoke with, her name is Deanne Richardson, said that it could help people combat the myth that this isn't happening here.
In rural communities, there's a sense of safety. I mean, you're not in the big city and you've always let your kids, you know, go and come and go and not worried about them because it's safe. It's a small community that you've been raised in, you know, and brought up in, and everybody knows everybody.
She directs the local nonprofit. It's called Safe Harbor, and it mostly works with victims of domestic violence. But for about the past 3 years, they also have been seeing sex trafficking victims. She says so far it's just been a handful of people, but she thinks that's a sign of just how hard it is to get out of this.
Over the past 3 days, you've been able to hear from some of the family members and friends who had loved ones go missing. What have they had to say?
We heard from two women who have lost their family members or aren't quite sure what happened yet. There was Melinda Harris Limberhand, whose daughter Hannah was murdered in 2013, and the Bill Hannah's Act is named after, and Shawnee King, who's still looking for answers about the disappearance of her younger sister, Shekiah Harding. Both of them talked about feeling sidelined by law enforcement. And King says that could be because her sister used meth, and she thinks that, on top of the fact that she's Native American, could explain why she feels like her case wasn't taken seriously.
They were coming in like, well, is she just running amok? Is she on drugs? She's probably just having a good time. And so those were hard things to face as a family member, because she was missing in our eyes, and didn't matter if she was on drugs, it didn't matter that she was looking goofy on the streets one day, she was still missing.
King says there was a 3-month stretch when she feels like no one was looking at her sister's case, and she thinks that's partially because of a bias against Native Americans and also drug users.
Let's shift focus back to solutions.
So a lot of people at the conference were talking about a code, and that basically refers to a statute that deems that something is illegal. Right now, the Confederated Salish and Kootenai tribes don't have a criminal code against human trafficking, but that is surprisingly normal. That's according to Lillian Alvernez, who's a legal fellow at the ACLU of Montana, but she spoke Thursday in her personal capacity, and she says only a handful of tribes currently have human trafficking codes.
So if you don't have a human trafficking code and you want to prosecute somebody, there's nothing that you can point to that says, this is the crime that I am prosecuting you for.
So that's going to be the next step for the tribes, developing that code. Alvernez says it'll not only help put traffickers away, but it's also going to be an important exercise of tribal sovereignty.
Interesting. So what's next for the tribes?
I spoke with Tribal Council member Shelley Fiant, who says that there are a few things they want to roll out by the end of the year, and that includes an educational campaign and visiting schools. They're also going to launch a tip line that won't be connected to law enforcement. The thinking is that people will feel safe calling in about possible instances of trafficking. But the ultimate goal is going to be developing that code for human trafficking. And that could be easier since Fiant says that they'll have more help now. She says that multiple people have approached her throughout the conference asking to join the work group for missing and murdered Indigenous people.
Olivia, thanks so much for sharing your reporting with us.
Thank you, Nikki.